Try that in. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Shepherd of the Hills. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord as people are making their way into the sanctuary. And Corey, I want to encourage you to stand with us as we worship the Lord together. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. Blessed be.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in a desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give, Lord. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah.
Louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Yes.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah.
You fight for us, Lord.
Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You gotta hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
raise.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You gotta hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Here we go, man. I sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
Weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I'm gonna sing.
I'm gonna sing. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise
a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Would you sing this chorus with us this morning? Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship His holy name.
Sing like never.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Sing it again.
Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
I'll worship
your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
though the nations rage.
Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one King reigning over all. So I will not fear, for this truth remains, that my God is the Ancient of Days. None above throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God is the Ancient of Days.
Though the dread
of night overwhelms my soul, He is here with me. I am not alone, for His love is sure, and He knows my name. For my God is the Ancient of Days.
None above Him, none before Him, all of time in His hands. For His throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God is the of days.
Though I may not see what the future brings, I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Then my joy complete, standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days.
Not above Him, Lord.
Not above Him, not before Him, all of time in His hands. For His throne it shall remain and ever stand,
ever stand.
All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. For my God is the Ancient of Days.
You may be seated. Let's take this time right now this morning, and I want to encourage you to lay before the Lord what is heavy on your heart. Maybe there's someone you know here that has asked for prayer. Maybe you know someone in your home is struggling with some health issues, or someone who's struggling with some anxiety or depression. Let's lay these things before our Lord today. Well, Father, we thank You for gathering us here again just to lift our hands to You, Lord, to worship You. You are the Ancient of Days. And Father, we have these things that we just want to lay before You this morning. Father, would You be with those who are struggling through some health issues, Lord? Lord, would you also be with those who are struggling with anxiety or depression? Father, be with those who are struggling with fear. Lord, we know that you walk with us through these things, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We lay all these things at your feet. In your name, amen, Jesus. Well, good morning. For those who don't know, my name is Jason. If you would like to sit with the pastor this morning and have prayer or some counsel, you'll find me back at the prayer chapel. And it would be a blessing to do that for you. Right now, if you would you turn to the screen for the children's message?
Hey, good morning, boys and girls, and welcome back to Shepherd of the Hills. Boys and girls, someone suggested I come out here to Applebee's, and let me tell you, Applebee's is the place to be. All right, there are people here. I am out sharing the message of Christ, and that's the goal of my life, to tell others about Jesus, about a God who loves them, who created them, and died for them. Now, in my box today, you have placed something inside that I'm going to turn into a message about Christ. So, let's see what's inside. How we do that today. Ah, this is very timely coming up here, boys and girls. In a few weeks, we're going to be having Christmas. I almost said Easter. It's going to be Christmas, boys and girls, and we have the nativity scene. I'm sure it looked just like this. All right, we have Mary and Joseph and the angels and the cows and the chickens and the squirrels. We have all kinds of animals here, and this is the nativity puzzle. Now, if I were to open this up, I'm sure inside of it, can't really open it up right now, but I'm sure on the inside there are pieces. Let me flip it like this. There are pieces to this puzzle. Come on. Man, there we go. Those are big pieces, much bigger than I expected. Boys and girls, these are individual pieces to the puzzle. And if I were to look at each one of these pieces and, oh yeah, that looks like nothing. That one looks like nothing. I see a chicken on that one. So most of these pieces, they're not a picture. I mean, you look at each piece here, that's not a picture, that's not a picture. I mean, this is an angel. They're part of that chick, I can put the piece later. But boys and girls, this puzzle here, each piece, all right, by itself is not the picture. They are each a part of the picture. And in the same way, in our Christian lives, boys and girls, each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. We each serve an individual function. Like this piece right here serves as the piece for the angel. There is not another piece in this box that looks just like this one. In the same way, you are part of the body of Christ. There is not another piece in the world that looks like you. God created you exactly how he wants you to be. He has given you a spiritual gift, if you're a believer in him, that he wants you to use for the betterment of his kingdom, to serve those he has called you to serve. So I want you to remember, next time you're looking at a puzzle or doing a puzzle, that just like each one of these pieces is unique and individual, so too are you, unique and individual. God has created you specifically like no one else. And with that in mind, let's pray. And gracious Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, that you have created each and every one of us uniquely. Father, that there is no one else like us, and that you have given us a specific function that we can use your skills and your talents to better your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for working through us. Bless these kids today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to go order some food. You guys take care. Have a good week. God bless.
All right, well, the kids can be dismissed back to Children's Church in the care room, and we do want to just pause and welcome everybody to worship service here today, everyone in our sanctuary, everyone back in our parlor, the people throughout the building, and of course, anybody who's with us live right now. We do have this streaming, so we want to welcome you also. Just a couple of quick things to share with you as we continue in our service today. If this is your first time with us or your first time back in a while, we want to welcome you very intentionally with a gift that looks kind of like this. It's a welcome bag, and inside of it is a water bottle. There's stuff to read all about the church. There's also a couple movie tickets in here to the Boyertown Theater. In addition to a gift certificate to go shopping in our very own bookstore that we call Chronicles. So it's filled with Bibles and books and things. We want to help you get some resources to grow in your faith. That's what's in this. And again, if you're with us, we thank you for joining us. We know that it's hard to visit a new church. You walk in, you don't know where anything is. Everybody's a stranger. And so we recognize that effort. Thank you for joining us today. And this is for you. So just stop by the welcome desk and pick one of those up. And speaking of the bookstore, we do have a book that we're featuring is a book of the month. It's called Practicing Thankfulness. And it's all about developing an intentional attitude of thanksgiving in our heart. This would make a great gift for somebody, a good stocking stuffer later on, or just to pick it up and read it. But it is all about that. How do we show thankfulness in every situation, even when we might not want to? You know, there's been a lot of research that shows there's not only spiritual benefit, but there's also emotional, relational, mental, even physical benefits to an attitude of thankfulness. And a lot of studies have even linked an attitude of thankfulness with lower blood pressure, lower rates of depression, better sleep, better relationships. And so there's all kinds of reasons to have an intentionally thankful heart. So that's what this is all about. It is $10. That does include the sales tax. We're going to pay that for you because we just want to make sure that you get the resource. But that's what it is, Practicing Thankfulness. And it is our book for the month of November. Just a couple of other things. First of all, when you walked in this morning, you passed by some brown wooden boxes that we call agape boxes. Those are there for your tithes and offering. And any prayer requests that you might have, you can fill out the yellow card that's in the seat back. It looks like this contact card, and let us know how we can be in prayer for you. You can also do that online. You can go to our website, soth.church, and you can listen to messages there. You can let us know how we can pray for you. There's a prayer request thing you can do there. You can give securely online. And if you are like me, you've got like 8 million things happening on Sunday morning, and it might be something that slips your mind. I know for me, that was the issue. So I've been electronically giving since we came here, and I love it because I don't have to worry about it. It's really good accountability. It happens weekly. You can do that too. You can set that up. You're in total control of it. You can put a card on file that doesn't go to us, that goes, you know, between you and your bank, and you can set that up to go weekly or monthly or one time or whatever you want. But all those options are there, and they certainly are there for you to use. So again, soth.church is our website. Download our mobile app. You can do that there also, and that's great because it gets you updates and prayer requests and all kinds of things that we put out through there. But you can do that there. Now, I mentioned just a minute ago this yellow contact card. It is good for prayer requests, but also a lot of other things. If you'd like someone to call you back, if you want a pastor to just talk to you about something or come visit you in your home or whatever that is, whatever that might be. If you want to be in the church directory or you want the weekly newsletters or you want, you know, to just make a comment or ask a question, these are really good ways to do that. So you just fill this out and drop this off in the agape box, and we'll be sure to get it that way. There's a couple of things happening this week that I just want to make sure everybody knows about. First of all, today after this service in our library, we're going to be having our Shepherd 102 class, which is all about the Calvary Chapel distinctives. Calvary Chapel is not Baptist, it's not Methodist, it's not Lutheran, it's not Presbyterian, it's Calvary Chapel. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have brothers and sisters in the Lord in those churches, and it doesn't mean there's not good churches. It just means they're not Calvary. What makes Calvary, Calvary, are our distinctives. They're markers that set us apart from others. And so, again, not that they're not good churches, just that they're not the same. And so what makes Calvary unique? Well, that's what this class is all about. So if you're interested in that, lunch is provided. There's no cost, but it will be after this service following and in our library. We do have coming up on Wednesday, or I should say tomorrow, more accurately, tomorrow, our Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Drop-Off begins beginning tomorrow. And it will go all the way through the week until Sunday. If you have a shoebox that you haven't brought back yet, Sunday is the deadline because after that, it gets loaded on a truck and it gets sent away from here. So we really can't do anything about it after then. So please don't come in Monday with the boxes. It's going to be too late. Sunday the 24th is the deadline, but all week we're going to have drop-off available here at the church. So there's volunteers that will be here, and you can really swing by anytime there's business hours and drop the box off. But we will have volunteers here because we're also a local collection place, so other churches and other businesses are going to be bringing their boxes as well. And if you're interested still in taking a box home and filling it and bringing it back, there's time for that. Just stop by the table there in the foyer and pick up one of those boxes, and you can certainly do it. Just be sure to bring it back by Sunday. So that's happening starting tomorrow. On Wednesday, we have our family meals continuing, only this week it's going to be a little bit different. In the bulletin, it says 5:15. We're actually expanding it this week to between 5 and 6:30 because we're having Thanksgiving. It's the week before, and so we want to celebrate that, and we want to have some good fellowship. We're going to have turkeys. We're going to have hams. We're going to have sides, salad, desserts. Please bring your own drink, just because that makes it a lot easier on us and the volunteers. But come on out. Again, there's no charge for that. You don't have to sign up for that. Just come out and enjoy some fellowship. It really is a very rich time. So that's happening this coming Wednesday. In addition to our youth group activities, our Wednesday night verse-by-verse study is happening. We're finishing our series our study in the book of Micah, and then we're going to continue on in that series looking at other minor prophets. So a lot of stuff happening on Wednesday. Next week, and that is on the 24th, we will have a lunch with the pastor, and that's basically where we just sit down and we talk. If you're interested in that, you can sign up at the kiosk and let us know. Come on out. Again, lunch is provided. Just ask that you let us know you're coming because space is limited. It's not designed to be big groups, but rather just a few people and sitting around a table and just talking like you would if you were in someone's home. So that's what it is. If you have questions about faith or the Bible or any messages that we've done or about the church, or you just have questions about life in general or maybe a biblical worldview on some kind of thing, it's a great time to just sit down and we kind of just work through these things. But again, the next one is going to be next Sunday, the 24th at 12:15 in the fellowship hall, and let us know if you're coming. Also, if you have a dietary need, a special dietary need, please let us know that too, because we want to make sure that everybody can enjoy the time. And if you can't have a certain type of food and that's all we have, then it's not going to be very fun. So we want to make sure that we're accommodating that as best we can. One other thing, and that is starting this week, hopefully on Tuesday is the goal. We're going to be producing a series of video announcements that will go out through the app. It's going to be an alert that you get, so you don't even have to go find it, but it'll go out through the app, it'll go onto Facebook, and it'll go onto our website. And what these are going to be are weekly prayer updates. So if you have a prayer request that you want us to share, please be sure on your prayer request to say, "We can share it." Because if it says we can't, then we don't. And if it doesn't say anything, then we don't, because we don't want to assume and then be wrong. So if you want us to share it, please let us know. But every week, we're going to be sharing these and other prayer requests for the church and maybe things we're hearing from other Calvary chapels and other needs. We certainly have a network for that. Some of the things that I've heard from people is during the pandemic, we did this like every day. We would do updates and we would share things with people through video and stuff like that. And a lot of people connected with it and it was helpful for them. So we want to bring that back a little bit. So it'll be a couple minutes long, not super long. It's not live. We're just going to, we're going to create the video and then we're then going to post it. But you'll be able to know how to pray for the church, how to pray for certain individuals. We'll certainly do some things to guard some privacy because we recognize it's going to be online. But we want to let you know if Joe has a surgery coming up or if Jane has an operation or something and they're asking for the church to pray and they've told us we can share that, we want to let you know, hey, pray for them this Tuesday. Pray for them on Wednesday. So some of the more urgent things we certainly want to let you know about, along with stuff in the ministry, how to pray for that. So that's going to be happening on Tuesdays going forward. And so if you do your prayer request and you want that, please just make sure that we can share that, and we will. Well, there's always more happening in the church than we can talk about. Please do read through the bulletins. If you signed up to get the weekly newsletter, you're going to get it there too, but you know, it's also online. If you are able to look around at the flyers that are in the building, that has information. Our website has information. Oh, and speaking of the signups, just one other thing. If you already signed up for something through the white paper or the yellow or the blue or the red or the green or, you know, however many colors we had roaming around, you don't need to do it again. Poor Fran is back in the office every week, and she's getting all these cards coming in, and she's going, but wait a minute, half these people have already done it. We don't know that they don't know, they don't have to do it. So you don't have to do it again. We already have that, but just going forward, the yellow card is what we're using. However, if you would like that information, do let us know. But if you've already done it, we certainly know that already. But check the bulletin board, check all the areas, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have about anything happening. But for right now, if I could just invite us all to turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. We're in the middle of a series. Well, I shouldn't say the middle. Next week's going to be the end of it. But it's called Thankful. And it's all about being thankful, basically on purpose. You know, what does the Bible say about an attitude of gratitude? And so that's what we've been studying through the month of November. And this morning it brings us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's the very end of that book. If you don't know where it is, what you do is you go through Corinthians. Eventually you get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then you come to 1 Thessalonians, the end of the book in the fifth chapter. It's a message that I'm calling Thankfulness in Prayer. Thankfulness in Prayer. One of the most common questions that believers have had over the years regarding their faith is, what is God's plan for my life? What's His will for me? What does He want me to do? Does He want me to take that job or not? Does He want me to move to that city or not? Does He want me to buy a house? Does He want me to marry this person? Does He want me to run away from this person? Does He want me to go to this school or that school? Does He want me to go into that career field or this career field? And everywhere and in every generation, people have asked the question, what is God's will for my life? Well, very often what happens is that person will then ask that question in a prayer meeting or in a small group or something, and a brother or sister in the Lord will say, well, what you got to do is you got to pray about it. Ask God and then wait for the answer. And certainly, we need to do that. But what do you do if and when that answer is not very clear? For example, suppose you wanted to buy a car. And you had this car picked out. I mean, you've wanted it for years. The make, the model, the color, the interior, the trim. I mean, you know everything about the car that you want. And you've been praying, okay, Lord, please give me an opportunity to buy this car. And then it happens. You learn that that car is available. And not only that, but it has everything you ever imagined. Again, color and interior. It's got the satellite radio. It's got the right tires. It's got all the features and all the dials and all the bells and all the whistles. And then you go and you look at it because to make it even better, it's at the dealership just around the corner from your house. And you go there and there's no line and it's just you and just the salesman and you test drive it. Oh, it feels good. It's like this car was made for you and you were made for this car. And so you go back and you think, okay, this is an answer to prayer. And you're sitting down with the salesman and you're going over the credit report and it all looks great. Oh, you got perfect credit. You get the lowest interest rate. The loan is going to be approved by so many different lenders. You have your pick of the litter. Everything looks great until you learn that that car is actually way more expensive than you thought. And you can buy it and they'll approve you for it, but if you do, you're going to have to cut back on other things in life. Maybe you won't be able to go grocery shopping as often, or you won't be able to take that vacation you've been planning. Maybe it's going to affect your retirement plans. And so all of a sudden, the person's asking the question, well, Lord, do you want me to buy this thing or not? Because I asked for it, and here it is, but it comes with this hook, you see? And so I'm not really sure. You can apply that scenario to any number of situations that we all face and all go through on a regular basis. And so some people will say, okay, what's God's will for my life? And then they'll bring all of this up at their next prayer meeting. They'll say, okay, we prayed about it. I asked God for an answer. And then now it's as clear as mud. I don't know what to do. And then somebody's going to say, okay, why don't you put out a fleece? Now, you might have heard of that phrase, but it comes from the Bible. It's in the book of Judges, chapter 6, where Gideon was called by God to go fight the Midianite army. And God keeps whittling away at Gideon's army. And he keeps saying things like, all right, Gideon, we're going to do this. And all the people who are scared, I want you to send them home. And then we're going to go get a water break. And anybody who puts their face in the water, send them home. But the ones that lift the water to their mouth with their hands, I want you to keep them. And by the time God's done with this, there's like 300 people left. And so here's Gideon and his 300, and you've got the Midianite army of maybe 10 to 40,000 strong. And so Gideon's trying to figure out, all right, Lord, are you going to give us victory or not here? And so he puts out a fleece, literally a piece of fleece cloth that he lays on the ground, and he says, okay, Lord, if your plan is to give us victory, then I'll know that because tomorrow when I wake up and everything's covered in dew, this thing's going to be dry. And so he goes to bed, he wakes up, and sure enough, it's dry. Well, then he says, well, maybe that was just a fluke, you know, I don't want to leave it to chance. So tomorrow, Lord, if I got this right, if this was you, then will you show me by making this thing covered with dew, but then all the ground is dry? Well, he wakes up the next day, and sure enough, it is so. And so Gideon concludes that God will, in fact, give them victory in battle. So some people will say, okay, you got to do that. You got to put out a fleece. And they come up with some kind of a test in life. All right, Lord, if you want me to buy this car, then this is going to happen. Or that's going to happen. And they come up with these examples. I always kind of laugh, though, because some people come up with these tests of the Lord that's almost like it's kind of tilting the scale. Lord, if you want me to buy that car, then in faith I declare the sun will rise tomorrow. You know, it's interesting. That person never hears no in any of their prayers, do they? Or maybe they take it a whole different direction and they say, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, you have to prove it to me by doing that. And you see, that's where the problem with the fleece comes in, is most of the time the person does it with the wrong motive. They think that if they somehow challenge God, that God is obligated to rise to the challenge and accept and prove himself. In Gideon's case, he was trying to discern what God's will was so he could do God's will. He wasn't trying to get God to do Gideon's will, but Gideon wanted to do God's will. But most of the time when people these days try and do a fleece of some sort, it's their will. It's something they want God to do. And in almost every time, it's some kind of test that is designed to cause God to prove himself. And then when it doesn't work, when they put out this fleece and they say, okay, Lord, if you want me to do that, then you're going to have to do this. And then God just goes, I don't have to do anything you say. I'm the Lord, I made you. You're like a little flea in my world, and I'll do what I will do. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not test the Lord. And so he goes, you're testing me, I'm not going to play that game. But this person then thinks, well, God didn't answer my challenge, and so he doesn't answer prayer. And they conclude that none of it even worked. And they're left with the same question as before, what does God want for my life? So everywhere, people are trying to figure out God's will for their life. What is that will? Well, there is some good news, and that is it doesn't have to be a mystery, because many places in the Bible, God has told us specifically what his will for our life is. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, for this is the will of God. Can't be much clearer than that. That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Okay, great. So God's will is one, that we do good things. Two, we don't get an argument with foolish people, but rather that through our actions, they will be exposed. Okay, we understand God's will. Here in 1 Thessalonians, in the 4th chapter, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should refrain or abstain from sexual immorality. It's like, okay, do good. Don't argue with fools, grow in a Christ-like manner, and abstain from sexual immorality. Now, if that's a little difficult to discern from time to time, the Apostle Paul even gave us a kind of a life hack for that. He says in Romans 12, don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing, or in other words, through the challenges we face, you will then discern God's will. Here in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, we see more about God's will. But here, it's all about prayer. As it turns out, God wants us to pray. And he wants us to pray a lot. And he doesn't want us to go through a priest, and he doesn't want us to go through a system, and he doesn't want us to do it under the guise of religion. But he wants us to pray to him, and he wants us to do it a lot. That's why the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, be in constant prayer. In the book of Ephesians, he says, praying in all circumstances. And here in Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's a single sentence, by the way. There's a lot of commas in that. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks for this. In other words, these things are the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our series is called Thankful, and one of the ways we show thankfulness to the Lord is through prayer. But I have noticed over the years that many believers are not very confident in their prayer, especially when it comes to praying out loud or praying in front of people. They pray to themselves, okay, but when it comes to doing it in a way that's more public, more corporate, it's amazing how people can get intimidated. They either don't know what to say, and so when they don't know what to say, they fill their prayer with a whole lot of ums and a whole lot of lords, and you know it. It's like, Lord, can you do this, and we do that, and Lord, and Lord, and Lord, and Lord, and they just say it like 800 million times. I mean, imagine having a conversation with somebody and they just repeated your name over and over and over and over again. It's like, okay, Joe, we're having a barbecue at my house, Joe, and Joe, we'd really love you to come, Joe, and Joe, bring your family, Joe, and Joe, did tell you we're having a cookout, and Joe, you don't need to bring anything other than you and your family. We just want you to be there, Joe, and just come out, Joe, and have a great time, Joe. And did you know your name is Joe, Joe? I don't know if you knew that, Joe, but it is. That conversation would be kind of hard to have. And so I found people either do that or the exact opposite. And that is they try and turn prayer into this elaborate theological thesis. Thou, Father, thy goodness and beseech and bestow, and out come all the big words that nobody even uses. What I'm trying to get across is what we say in prayer is important, but how we pray, well, that matters a lot more. And what I mean by that is the heart and the attitude that we have when we're going into prayer. My mother always used to say, it isn't what you said, it's how you said it. And it was usually after I said something like, well, thank you very much. And I would feel that every time. And I'd go, what did I do? I said thank you. And she'd say, it wasn't what you said, it was how you said it. It was that attitude that you had. And boy, I can still feel those sometimes. Well, in prayer, it's the same thing. It's the attitude that we have going into our prayer. God's not so much worried about getting all the words right. He's not worried about whether you have perfect articulation, but rather the heart that we have in our prayer. And so we see some attitudes of prayer, some heart felt ideas here that we're going to look at. And certainly there are more, but for the sake of this morning, I want to look at four of these. And the first one is to be positive. If you're taking notes, the first word is positive. It's in verse 16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Now let me be clear. Being positive does not mean that you are always positive about your situation. Nobody expects anybody to rejoice because of the hardship. That would be an insincere prayer. That would be a lie. That would be something you told God that wasn't true. We're not called to be thankful or to be happy because we have money problems, because our relationship is struggling, because we have a crisis, or because we have health issues. Nobody ever walked out of a meeting with their local IRS agent and said, "Lord, that was just the best 3.5 hours of my life. I'm so thankful that you sent this person to go through every receipt I've had for the last year. Could you send 10 more, Lord? It was just so wonderful." It isn't what you said, it's how you said it. No one's calling anyone to be thankful for hardship. We might not be grateful for things like that that have happened, but we can be grateful. We can rejoice even during the time and during the hardship. In other words, we might not rejoice because of what has happened, but rather despite what has happened. In the book of Job, Job is a righteous man, and you probably know the story. But he's so righteous and so upright with the Lord that God brags about Job to Satan. He says, "Look at my servant Job. There's no one in the world like him. Can you believe how wonderful Job is? I mean, Job was like God's first round draft pick. I mean, this was the guy that loved the Lord more than anybody else." And Satan said, "Well, you know why he does that? It's because you've blessed him. Take away all the blessing, and I guarantee he will curse you to your face." So God tells Satan, "Okay, you can test Job." And he goes and he does. And Job loses just about everything. He loses his home. He loses his kids. He loses his property. He loses his animals. He loses his health as he breaks out in sores and boils. And at one point, he even loses the support of his wife. As she looks at him and she sees all the suffering, and she says, "Job, just curse God and die. Just get it over with, Job." And I love what it says in Job chapter 1, the way he replied to the whole thing. "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And it says, "And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Even though life had taken a turn for the worse and fallen off a cliff, Job was showing thankfulness, and he rejoiced. Not because of his circumstance, but in spite of his circumstance. You see, often, and most often this is true, we have no control over the things that happen to us. You can't control when the hot water heater is going to break, or the tire is going to go flat, or you're going to get diagnosed with some illness, or you're going to lose a job. We can't control when gas prices go up and inflation happens. But we can control the way we react to these things. Notice how this verse is written. It says, "Rejoice always." In fact, all of them. Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks." They're all written as a command. In other words, it's something that we do on purpose. It's an intentional act. It's not a feeling that comes as a result of what just happens, but rather it's a response that we have on purpose despite what has just happened. And I will also say it's worth noting that that kind of intentional response to life, that rejoicing always in life, that's pretty contagious. People will see that. You know what they're going to think? They're going to think you're weird. They're going to go, you know, we've got wars overseas, we've got inflation, we've got political division, the climate's warming, everything's more expensive, we've got religious persecution, we've got families under assault, nobody knows what they're going to do for Christmas, everywhere you go there's more traffic, nobody talks about the whales anymore, but they're going to say, you know, we've got to worry about the whales and the ozone layer, and all of this is happening, and yet you're rejoicing. They'll think this person's either weird or they have no clue and they're living under a rock, and they'll ask you, "Why are you so happy in this?" Well, the answer is because my joy doesn't come from the circumstance. It's higher than that. You know, it's worth noting that somewhere along the line, this idea was spread that Christianity, or to be a believer, is dull and drab and boring and monotonous. That if you're a believer, you're not allowed to have fun anymore. And actually, I've had people tell me that. They go, "You know, I'd go to church, except I enjoy having fun. I would be a believer. I would follow Christ. I'd have faith. But you know what? I love the way I live my life, and it's going to suck all the fun right out of it." In fact, former Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes one time said, He goes, I would have gone into the ministry if it weren't that every minister I've ever met looks like an undertaker. There was an author and a poet from Scotland by the name of Robert Louis Stevenson who said in his journal one time, he wrote, I went to church today and I'm shocked that I'm not depressed. As if he expected to be depressed by going to church. When I was in seminary, I enjoyed seminary, but I had somebody tell me one time, oh no, you went to cemetery because it will kill all the fun in your life. Well, I will tell you, I reject that idea wholeheartedly, that you cannot be joyful in your faith. The Bible talks about it all over the place. In the book of Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When he wrote to the Philippian church, what did Paul say? He said, complete my joy. Jesus even said, no one will take your joy from you. And that's true, because your joy isn't in your circumstance. It's higher than that. It's more secure than that. It says here in verse 16, rejoice always. And the only way that's going to be possible is when it's not because of, but rather in spite of what's going around. Don't let the world take the thing that Jesus died to give you. Don't let it have your joy. And so first of all, we have be positive. Rejoice always. Second, we have regularly talk to God. Regularly talk to God. Notice it says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now you probably have figured this out, but this doesn't mean you have to sit at home all day and pray. It doesn't mean you have to walk around talking to yourself praying. People will also think you're weird, by the way. You're going through the grocery store and you're just kind of praying out loud over and over. And we laugh, but I've met people that do that and they take it to heart and they take it literally to not ever say anything that isn't prayer. And so they will literally fill their entire day with praying aloud to the Lord. That's not what this is telling us. This is telling us to regularly talk to God. Are you regularly communicating with the Lord? Is this part of your normal daily routine? Because for a lot of people, often prayer is limited to four times: church time, meal time, bedtime, and bad times. And that's usually when people will pray. And when they do pray, very often it's a scripted prayer just to kind of get through it in order to do the thing that they want to do. When I was a kid, we had to pray for dinner. It was an unbelieving home. But my dad still believed that it was important to be thankful, and so we would regularly pray at dinner. And I remember the prayer that we would say as kids. I remember it to this day. It was, God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Thank you for our daily bread. Amen. And we would have contests to see how fast we could say that, because we weren't interested in that prayer. We were interested in that pork chop that was just on the other side of the plate, and this prayer was the thing in the way. Our kids pray like that at the dinner table sometimes. We have to slow them down, say, stop. Just try and say something different. Try and say something from the heart, and we have to catch that. You know, as a kid, it's one thing to pray as a child, but as we grow and mature in our faith, so should our prayer life grow and mature. And so we regularly talk to God, and it says, pray without ceasing. In the book of Daniel, it says he prayed three times to the Lord every day. It tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 55, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And Psalm 119, verse 164. Aren't you glad we're not doing a verse-by-verse study of that one? But there it says, seven times a day I will pray to you. Well, here it says, pray without ceasing. Talk to God, pray to God regularly. And notice, not just when things blow up, not just when there's trouble, not just when we're in a pinch. That's a fire extinguisher prayer. And a lot of people have that kind of prayer life. They have a fire extinguisher in the cabinet somewhere, and they pull it out when there's a fire. And they dust it off, and they hope it still works, but they don't remember how to use it because it's been so long since they went through the class. They're fumbling through it, and they don't know what to do. And before long, this fire's grown out of control. And for a lot of people, that's the prayer life, you know? The last time they spoke to God was the last crisis they had. And so their prayers often sound like this: Lord, I know it's been a long time since I prayed, but I could really use some help. Lord, I know I haven't talked to you in a while, but if you're up there and you're listening, I could use some help down here. Look, absolutely pray to God when you need help. He wants us to. He calls us to. That's often why trouble comes in our life, so that we will come back to Him in prayer. Just don't only pray to God when you need help. Imagine if you had a friend, and your friend only called you when they needed something. They only called when they needed money, or move a couch, or hide a body. I'm just kidding about that one. But that's the only time you ever heard from them, is when they needed help for something. Never to see how the family's doing. Never to see if they could help you in any way, but always just something that they need from you. You might say, you know what? That's not a very good friend to have, because everything is a take, take, take relationship, and you can't have a relationship like that. Well, you know, the Bible says that Jesus thinks of you as a friend. In John 15, his own words, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends." And like any good friendship, communication is important. And so we pray without ceasing. We regularly talk to God. Fourth, we're appreciative. We show appreciation. Notice verse 18, "In everything, give thanks." We show appreciation. There's a story of a young girl, a Jewish girl, by the name of Cori Ten Boom. You probably have heard of her, maybe, from history. But her and her family were arrested by the Nazis during World War II, and they were put in a POW camp. And it was terrible conditions. I mean, nobody should ever have to live like that, but they did. And they were there, and the place was infested with lice and infested with fleas, and it was rotten and it smelled. And they were always under the threat of arrest and execution. They were forbidden from studying their Bible, and every day was an uncertainty. And so Cori and her family were in these conditions. Her mother would always tell her and her sisters, "All right, today we're going to give thanks to the Lord before we have our Bible study." And Cori would say, "Well, what are we giving thanks for? The fleas, the lice, the mud, the dirt, the grime, the cold, the no blankets, the terrible food? What is it?" And they would find something to be thankful for. They would say, "Thank you, Lord, that we're together. Thank you, Lord, that we're still here. Thank you that you've given us yet another day to worship and praise. And thank you that we do have something to eat." And so they would find something to rejoice over and something to give thanks for. Well, it was discovered after the war that not just one time, but several times, they were actually supposed to have been arrested and executed. But you see, the guards would never go in and arrest them because of the fleas, because of the lice, because of the smell. They were so grossed out by it. They said, "We're not going in there. Nobody's worth that." And so they survived to the end of the war. I love stories like that because it reminds us of what it says here: in everything, give thanks. And it goes back to what we said before. We might not be thankful for the situation. We're not thankful for the fleas and the lice. We're not thankful for the flat tire. We're not thankful for the sickness or for the stress or for the marriage problems. We're not thankful for that IRS auditor coming into our life. We might not appreciate these things, but we can still appreciate and show appreciation in these things. We might not like what's happening right now, but it doesn't mean there's nothing to be thankful for. My wife is just great at this. You know, the world is falling apart. She will find something to be thankful for. The car breaks down, we're stuck in traffic, we're late for the doctor's appointment, whatever it is, and she will find something to be thankful for. You know, we could be driving along the road, the tire goes flat. This is a true story. And so we're there on the side of the road, and I'm going, "Oh, the tire's flat," and I'm, you know, freaking out, and I'm just kind of enraged. And she goes, "Oh, honey, it's okay. We still have three more." And I'm going, "It doesn't work that way. We need four. It's not a tricycle, and we're stuck." You know, I've always said that she could suck the silver lining out of any cloud. She can just find something to be thankful for. Verse 18 says, "In everything, give thanks." It doesn't mean we're thankful for everything, but rather in everything, give thanks. And so we're appreciative. So we have be positive, regularly talk to God, be appreciative. If you're following along, you know that's P-R-A-N-R-Y. is to yield to God's will. Notice in verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Put it like this, God is not intending that any one of his children walk around miserable and defeated and ashamed and insulated and isolated and discontent. He's not looking for people to go through life like that. He's not looking for people to come to him in prayer like that. And so what does he want? Well, he's already told us, rejoice always. There's always something to be joyful over, to pray without ceasing. Don't just go when there is a problem. I mean, go when there's a problem, but talk to him all the time. Make that a regular part of your day, and to give thanks in everything. And then he says, this is the will of God for you. And it's interesting, that word will, because it means a few different things. First of all, it means God's best plan for life. So this is the best plan. This is the best possible outcome is this. But in the original language, there's a nuance to that word that we don't get. That's why I love the original language. It is God's best plan for us, but the nuance is that plan must be chosen by the person. In other words, it can be accepted or rejected, but that is the best plan. So a person has option A. They can do God's will, which is the best plan for life. It leads to the most blessing. It leads to maximum satisfaction, maximum joy, living up to your full potential, fulfilling your calling in life, and all of those wonderful things. Or B, they can follow their own plan for life, which has none of those guarantees, and often leads to more heartache and more trouble than necessary. I can look back on my life. Every single time I have ended up in a situation where I regret being, it is because I have followed my own plan. It kind of reminds me of the time that Paul was shipwrecked with the Romans. He was on his way to Rome. He was there as a prisoner. They were going to try him for the crime of preaching. And they came upon this storm in the sea. Well, it was so bad, they all thought they were going to die. And it's in Acts 27, you can read it. But there's an angel of the Lord that appears to Paul and says, don't worry, Paul, it's been granted that everybody here is going to live. So great, Paul gets this encouraging message that even though the storm is pretty bad and it looks dire, that this isn't going to be the end of his story. But then just a few verses later, after the boat is shipwrecked, the sailors and the crew, they want to jump overboard and get in the life rafts and leave. And Paul says, no, no, no. If you do that, you will die. Okay, so which is it? Are we going to live? Are we going to die? Well, the answer is both. As long as they remain in God's will, they're going to live. But the minute they jump ship, the minute they do it on their own, all of those guarantees go with them. And so people wonder sometimes, why is all the joy and all the blessing that I read about in the Bible, why isn't it there? Well, sometimes the question is, did they jump ship? Are they doing it on their own, or are they still in God's will for their life? Are they worrying about everything instead of giving it to the Lord in prayer? Are they finding ways to be thankful, or are they just focusing on the negative and all the complaining and all the griping? Is every prayer to God whining and talking about all the things that aren't fair in life? Are they in regular prayer with God, or is it only when they need something and only when they want to complain? Are they yielding to God's will, or have they jumped ship into their own? You know, I have never seen this not be true, but the more a person yields to God's will, the more peace they will have in life. And so it tells us here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. November is a wonderful month. Our series, as I mentioned, is called Thankful, and we're showing thanksgiving through a number of ways. We're thankful on purpose. The first week, the second week, we were thankful in praise. Here, we're thankful in prayer. And a number of ways that we do that is we're positive. We regularly talk to God. We appreciate all that he's done, and we yield to his will. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you do have a will. We thank you that your will is perfect, Lord. We thank you that It is custom made for us and for our life and for the needs of our life, Lord. We thank you that no matter what is going on around us, Lord, it could be the worst storm we've ever seen. It could be that the ship is about to sink and everything looks like it's going overboard, and yet even in the middle of that, Father, you are working all things together for the good. Lord, as we deal with life, and you know, we all know that life can be very challenging, and it can test our joy, no doubt. We look at the news, and it discourages us, or we look around the world, and we want to be anxious about these things. But, Lord, no matter what it is, no matter what difficulty we may find, no matter how much there is to be worried over and anxious over, there is still an opportunity, even in that, to rejoice, to find blessing. Now, Jesus said it well, Lord. He said, blessed are you when you're poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you're meek, when you're mourning. Not that there is blessing from being in mourning, but rather, Lord, that we can be blessed when that's happening, in spite of that happening. And likewise, Lord, there is joy and rejoicing to be had despite the circumstances. To pray always, to give thanks in everything. This is your will for our lives. So I pray that we would have the strength to live out your will. Lord, would you send your spirit? Would you indwell us, fill us, Lord, pour your spirit out into this room and give each person the capacity to do your will. Because, Lord, if the world has it its way, we're going to be a walking ball of mess. But in you, there is joy, the peace of God that surpasses understanding. So, Father, we pray for that. We pray for your guidance and your protection as we go from here. Ask that you bring us back again as we continue to rejoice and pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we close today?
Blessed be your name in the land. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be the name of Blessed be your name.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. We pray that as we leave from here, Lord, our lives would shine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what we go through, Lord, no matter what we face, Lord, you are sovereign above all. We thank, we praise you, Lord. We keep us safe as we leave from here. Bring us back again to worship you, either in this place or around your throne. In your name I pray. Amen. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget, Wednesday night, we start at 5 o'clock for our family meal, Thanksgiving meal. We'll see you then. God bless.